This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Former Atlanta Falcons QB and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer, joining us here on the show. Good morning, Dave. How you feeling?
I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy. How about them Cyclones?
Yeah, how about that, man? How about that little championship game action, huh? Maybe play yourself into the playoff.
Did I see that right, Dave? This is the first 10-win season in program history. Is that right or no?
Yeah, that is correct, yes. Wow. They have not been able to get to double digits. And, yeah, Matt Campbell's done an amazing job there, as you know, that, recruiting to a little country town, corn-fed town there in the middle of Iowa, that they're not pulling 4- and 5-star kids in, but he's done a great job developing the program. And this is their second time in the Big 12 title game in the last 5 years. I think the only other team that's been in the Big 12 title game twice in the last 5 years, Oklahoma State. So, doing some good stuff up there, man.
Yeah, there's a new sheriff in the post-Texas Oklahoma Big 12, and it might be a Cyclone. All right.
Either that or a Sun Devil, one of the two.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Their mascot keeps getting in brawls. They might not make it very far. All right. We can get to that because I know you did do Alabama Auburn over the weekend and then the Iron Bowl. We can get to the fight stuff in a minute, but we got to hit it hard now. Kirk Cousins. What'd you see from him, Arch, in a 4-interception performance? Was there anything that you saw during the game that stood out?
Well, there's a lot of things that Kirk struggled with for some reason yesterday. I mean, he's been really good this year. He's done a lot of good things for his team. I think Raheem's talked about that. But I thought he had some problems decision-making-wise. Early on, I thought he missed a couple of throws. He had Darnell Mooney on the opening drive. Darnell slipped into that second level behind the linebackers, and he had an opportunity to stick one in there to him, kind of got a little bit antsy, maybe anticipated the throw and then had to kind of reload it and then threw it again. It was short, and Mooney couldn't come up with it down about the 2-yard line, which probably would have given you an opportunity to punch it in there. He missed, I believe, Mooney again on a little play where Mooney read the route perfectly, sat down in the hole, and again, it was one of those, you kind of felt like he felt guys around his arm. I've been in that position before where the pocket's crushing down around you, and you almost feel like you're trying to throw it in a closet, and so you change your arm angle a little bit. You don't get a lot on it. He short hopped that one into Mooney. And then, of course, the interceptions. He misread the pit six is one where they had shown a zero look where they were going to come after him. They did the first time. The second time they dropped off in zone coverage, he did not see the flat defender. Threw it out there. And ironically enough, I was watching the game last night with Tampa and Carolina, hoping Carolina was going to do us a solid. They almost did. But Baker Mayfield goes out on a play where he gets his ankle twisted and comes back in. In his very first play, he throws a pick, and it's a very similar misread where he didn't read the cloud corner rolled up in the flat. He thought he was running out of there in man coverage, and he threw a pick. And as it turns out, they were able to tackle the Carolina defender, and he didn't score, but we didn't get that done. It was taken all the way back for a touchdown. The most disturbing one was probably when he got up in the pocket. We're down in scoring territory. Can't take three off the board, potential three off the board, let's put it that way. And he throws kind of a jump ball type situation in the end zone. And, Drake London's there kind of in the area, but it looked like it was kind of to Mooney. And Mooney's not really going to win one of those battles, and it ends up being an interception in the back of the end zone. That one got you a little bit. The last interception, he's trying to push it up the field because it's fourth down. He's just trying to get us in field goal range. And so you got to take a shot at that point. And Derwin James picks the last one off. So, There's the kind of the interception deal. I just thought his decision making wasn't nearly on par for what the where he normally is. And he said it in the interview with me. He's gonna have to go back and do a little soul searching and stuff and get back to making those good decisions as a quarterback.
Yeah, well, what does that look like, Arch? Because to me, I had a couple reactions to this game yesterday. First and foremost, it looked to me like he's gone back and watched the film. He's taken two or more sacks in five straight games. So watching the film going, I got to get the ball out. And especially when you look over on the other side of the ball, you see Khalil Mack, you see Joey Bosa, you're like, I got to get it out. But also, we've kind of clamored for more play action. You heard Raheem Morris talk about it last week, got to run more play action. The second play action pass of the game, he throws a pick. And I think that when you have play action, you know this better than anybody, you turn your eyes away from the defense. They can, you know, kind of change and disguise coverage. How much of what they were doing coverage-wise do you think that Kirk Cousins was absolutely confused by? Because he looked uncomfortable, but I'm just curious how much he was actually confused or how much of it was, kind of just knowing that pass rush would get there eventually.
Well, I think it's always a combination of what you just described, Mike, but I think there was some moments there where the Chargers did a really good job in the back end of muddying the water before the snap. You try to get a pre-snap look, and usually when you drop the throw and don't turn your eyes away from the line of scrimmage, you confirm it in your first step or two of what you thought you saw pre-snap. That doesn't really happen in play action. As you described really accurately in the pregame show or the postgame show last night, I was driving home listening to you. When you turn your back to the line of scrimmage to play action fake, you've got to be able to have time to confirm what you thought you saw pre-snap, and so that's going to make you hold the ball longer. Usually, play action protection is your best protection because you got more guys involved in protection. Your back's going to slide up, chip somebody, pick somebody up. Usually, your tight end's check releasing, and it's usually a two-man route, three-man route, so the protection's better because you got more people. That means you can hold the ball longer. And Kirk just didn't recognize after he came out of the play fake what they were doing. And obviously it resulted in an interception. I thought we did there was a couple of times poor job in play action where you didn't check out of the backfield. I thought that Tyler Algier got hung up a couple of times. And you know, you understand it because the two guys you mentioned, Bosa and Mack, are two guys that have a reputation for getting after you, and they were certainly doing a decent job. But I don't remember mentioning their name very much, Mike, last night. I know that they were around and certainly were collapsing the pocket, but I don't remember mentioning their name making any plays. And so maybe you gave them a little bit too much respect, one with guys trying to check out or block, help block them and check out. But you didn't get your checkdowns out a couple of times, and so Kirk was in a position where he was, you know, panicked a little bit, I guess, and tried to force the ball up the field. And like you're saying, he wants to get the ball out. You want something positive happening. But, you know, number one in your mind as a quarterback is protection of the football. And he didn't get that done yesterday.
We've got Dave Archer on the line with us, former Atlanta Falcons QB and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. Dave, this defense came into this game with the NFL low, 10 sacks. And then they get five on Justin Herbert in this matchup. What did you make of the way that this defense came out and played, especially coming out of the bye week?
Well, certainly, Tiff, they were very much renewed. This is something we talked about throughout the week, that we felt like this was going to be a refreshed group. I thought they looked really tired and beat up against Denver, especially the two linebackers. Ellison and Lamon have played so much with the injuries, JT Bertrand and Troy Anderson, but they've got a lot of snaps under their belt. There's like a running back that's carried the ball 400 or 500 times. I mean, they just were beat down and worn down. I thought that the time off really rejuvenated them. Plus, you got Troy Anderson back, which helped them rotate another player in there. And so I thought they looked really well. I thought the defensive front was really active. There was a lot of stunts and things. And Mike, you talked about this in the postgame. I thought their self-scout, they got to some stuff defensively. Maybe they weren't doing very much of. I thought the stunt game was phenomenal between the front four and rushing the passer. And you knew going in that Justin Herbert was one of those kind of quarterbacks that hangs onto the ball. He's not a guy that gets the ball out really quick. He's going to try to wait to the last minute. It's kind of like Ben Roethlisberger used to be. You know how Ben standing there, and then he'd shrug guys off and he'd wait. And that's what Herbert does. And so, because of the way he plays, and maybe and a good deal of it probably to the staff, giving Jimmy Lake and his staff credit on the defensive side for getting some stunts in, to get guys home. Ebby Cady was excellent. Obviously, Grady Jarrett was outstanding. We had Kentavious Street was in there. So there was a number of guys, just one guy doing it. And so I thought it was just a renewed effort on the other side of the ball, on the defensive side. And they I feel bad for them because this was a championship performance, really. You know, you have 189 yards in total offense to an offense. That's a game you should walk away and win easily. They had the ball for, I don't know, 12 more minutes in the game. They limited them to like 3 conversions on third down. Just a phenomenal performance. The only thing they didn't take it away multiple times, but they did get one takeaway, which provided a short field opportunity that netted a touchdown. This was a winning performance defensively, no question.
All right, real quick, does college football have a problem with flag planting at midfield?
Arch would have been the one planting the flag. What are you talking about?
Well, you know, there's a lot of levels of stuff that this is going to have to go through. I know Kirk Herbstreit said some stuff about it. You know, this is an administrative deal where you're going to have to talk to your coaches and your players about, you know, wrangling it in. Individual institutions are going to have to wrangle this thing in. There's always – Mike and I both played in games like these ones we had this weekend where the temperatures run a little hotter because there is crosstown stuff or there is guys you played against in high school and there is that rivalry thing going on. But it is supposed to be, you know, college football, and there's a decorum that certainly has to fit it to a certain extent. It's funny, Mike, we talked about this a little bit. I think that you want the fever pitch, but you don't want it to spill over. And it got sideways on Saturday, no question about it. So it's going to have to be addressed. Each institution is going to have to address it. Each of the commissioners and each conference is going to have to address it. And then, you know, all the coaches are going to have to talk to the players about this. And the coaches, to a certain extent, were part of the problem. And so that's something they're going to have to wrangle in as well. But you can't have multiple fights because there were fights all over the country. I was at Auburn, Alabama. We had one get sideways. It was kind of a benign play, but an Alabama guy loses his mind because he's getting blocked, and the wide receiver blocked him effectively, and then it got out of bounds, and then it was on Auburn's sideline, and here comes Alabama's sideline, and so you just can't have that. So that's the way. The only way you're going to, or you're going to have to throw guys out of the game. This multiple unsportsmanlike conduct penalty is not working. Okay, if you get a guy that gets in a fight and they start tearing people's helmets off and punching, you got to throw them out of the game. And that will deter people as well. But you got to get the thing under control, no question.
Arch, did they treat you well over in Tuscaloosa, man, or do I need to make a phone call to somebody? They probably treated you better than they do me over there, honestly.
No. I was asked when I got in the building, do you know Mike Johnson? I said, yeah. So that was how right. I got in.
Oh, you do know Mike? Get out now.
Well, I had to give a background on you where you played every position along the offensive line. I had to tell them about All American and all this kind of stuff. So yeah, I barely got in. But you were the key turner that got me in, my man.
Yeah, I'm sure, buddy. Good stuff.
Dave, as always, appreciate you joining us here on the Morning Shift.
Thanks, guys. See y'all.